In the book of Amos, last time we took a look at chapter 5, the book of Amos chapter 5, this minor prophet, he's a herdman, he's a gatherer of sycamore fruit, he's not a man of esteem from the standpoint of people in the nation, he's of the working class, he's not of the school of the prophets and school of the priests and such as that. He's a man taken by the Lord early in this time of prophecy by the minor prophets, a contemporary of Brother Isaiah, to give us an idea of time frame, prophecy-wise. And he's telling Israel, and he's telling the nation. Let's just go ahead and go with the pulpit, Mike and Miranda, because we've got problems again. Well, he's early on from the standpoint of these prophecies in time, he's prophesying to the nation of Israel, who is leading the race on wickedness and that. Judah is being warned also. He speaks at times to the entire family. Those are the words that are used that we saw. And in chapter 5, we see our Lord's lamentation for Israel. And I mentioned to you about a lamentation. There's no lamentation for Babylonia. There's no lamentation for Egypt. No lamentation for Syria. No lamentation for Assyria. There's no lamentation for the Philistines. None for Moab. None for Ammon. But there is for Israel, because she is the Lord's people. She's the Lord's nation. And there is a lamentation. There's grief of our Lord that we're told about here. That's the reason for a lamentation. That word lamentation is speaking about the grief that would be expressed in a dirge by those who have had a loved one pass on, and they are filled with great grief and even to the point of wailing and bemoaning the passing of their loved one. Verse number 2, the virgin of Israel is fallen. That picture of a virgin, a beautiful young woman that had all the care of her betrothed, the Lord, speaking in that sense. She's fallen, and there's no one to be able to help her, even though she's gone out and looked to other nations. The Lord tells them in verse 4, "Seek ye me, and ye shall live." And that's the message of the Lord from the beginning, isn't it? For since the fall, seek him. Seek him. In him there is life. Verse 5, don't go to the other places. Don't go to Bethel, to Gilgal, Beersheba, all that. Don't. Those places are going to come to naught, as we know. And in this, Bethel and Gilgal, we saw our two locations. Both are in Ephraim, one of Joseph's son that was taken to Brother Jacob as his own. And then Dan up in Manasseh, where the other golden calf was. You know, what a grief. The faithfulness of Joseph. You know, it's a testimony of the fact the faithfulness of the parents don't guarantee the faithfulness of the children. Hear that. And we need to pray for our children. We need to be faithful, and we need to pray for our children that the Lord would visit them and convict them, that he would convict us. I've seen that more and more since I've come here to be your pastor, about the necessity for conviction from the Lord, because conviction is the only thing that's going to carry us through difficult times. Conviction from the Lord by the Holy Spirit of God is going to be the only thing that is going to cause us to stand when we have to stand against those that are very near and dear to us. Conviction from God is the only thing that will do it. And so this that is mentioned here in verse number 7, everything is turned up. And it's a testimony of our day. Judgment is turned and from good judgment, you turn judgment to wormwood, leave off righteousness in the earth. He says, don't look to the gods of the heathen. Israel, don't look to the gods of the heathen. Remember what I did in running them out before you, and remember what I am doing now. He says, He says in verse number 8 and 9, take and consider and look to Jehovah, that Jehovah is God, and he has done something. He creates, has created the host of heaven. He mentions here the seven stars and Orion. Now there is God Almighty, and turning the shadow of death into morning. And that's what he's done. I was just taking a look and musing today about John chapter 1 and the Word, who is from the beginning, before the beginning, who is God, who is the light, who was rejected, and who a witness was sent forth before to testify of the Word and the light that you and I need. And so and this is something in Amos that the Lord is very perturbed, very irritated about. All this living and leisure. And it's not just the enjoyment of pleasure, because the Lord has given us all good things to enjoy. It's good for us to work and enjoy the fruit of our labors. But these are guilty of doing so on the backs of their brethren. And that's what I believe is the delineation there. It's not wrong. It's not evil to enjoy the fruit of one's labor. That's the design and the working of the Lord. But to do so, to gain such on the back of brethren. Verse 12, he knows their manifold transgressions and mighty sins and the affliction of the just and so on. He says it's a time that the prudent just don't say anything. Keep your mouth closed, because then you'll be destroyed. And so he tells here about hating the evil, verse 15, loving the good, establishing judgment in the gate, and so on. Most apropos for our time, because we have this in our country. It's just an upside down time. And our wickedness as a nation has brought this upon us. And there's an element here that, because of the destruction, we'll see it in this chapter, in the coming chapter, in chapter 6, about they refuse to acknowledge. They refuse to acknowledge that this judgment and this work is from God. And you know, that's something that you and I, that we face. Why is this aspect of our nation falling apart? Well, the judgment of the Lord upon us. What do you mean, the judgment of the Lord? God bless America forever. We face that today in the general public. They would say, what are you talking about? Judgment from God upon us. And because folks just don't see it. And there's a contingent here. The majority is such. And so then again in verse number 17 about the staple of provision, and all vineyards shall be wailing. I mean, even the stock of what's needed for there to be production of food and the essentials of life has been destroyed because of it. I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. So we come here to this of the day of the Lord. And I'm going to borrow from your understanding of the scriptures and where we hear about the judgment of the Lord and upon the world and upon the nations at the end of the age, the tribulation that the Lord is going to bring, that he tells us about before the 1,000-year reign, and then the final judgment of the heathen and Satan and the world. You know, the scripture tells us in books like Zechariah and Ezekiel and in Revelation, that there's going to be a day. It won't be day. It won't look like day, and it won't look like night on this earth, around the globe, because the Lord is at hand, and he's meting out judgment upon this earth. Now, the children of God, we're going to be gone. The contingent of Israel that will be saved, they'll be here. They'll experience that. But as the saints, we'll be gone when the Lord begins to deal and judge the world and the nations that remain and the heathen at hand. And so here, there seems to be some that say, the day of the Lord, just bring it on. Let's bring this to an end. It's kind of like what I preached on Sunday afternoon about Lot's wife. I think her situation, I want to believe that her situation was different in the grief that she experienced in the own loss of her children and their financial loss and devastation, and then the suffering of her own husband. These people, I think that these that the Lord is preaching to here and dealing with here in the book of Amos are somewhat sarcastic and unbelieving. They're like those that Peter say, since the fathers, all things continue on the way they are. Where's the promise of his coming? It's like, okay, this you say that this is the judgment of the Lord upon us. Well, bring it on. Go ahead and bring it on. So let's see what the scripture says here. Verse 18, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. So there are those that do. They say they want the day of the Lord to come. And let us know, this day of the Lord that's being spoken about is a day of judgment. See, there's a thinking that it's in us naturally to think that because time passes and because God is not physically evident here, that he cannot reach out and touch us to make us feel, to make us experience, to make us, I don't know how else to say it, to make us hurt in chastisement for our sin and for our iniquity. And the children of God, we can have a degree of that. And the heathen, the unbelieving, certainly do. That they just can't be reached. Because see, there's no man on earth that can do that. Oh, we can afflict one another. We could put people in jail. We can be abusive. We can burn down stuff. But there's this. What's said? It said, you can touch my body and you can touch my stuff and you can touch my own, but you can't reach me in the heart. Well, the Lord can. The Lord can. He can. He can reach right in there to the depths of us, to touch us. He is God. He's the creator, and we're the created. So he says, woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. Maybe an escape. Maybe their thinking is, it's just bring it to an end. You know, again, in the vein of what Job's wife said, curse God and die. Well, if this is the judgment of the Lord and this is for our sins, well, just let it be done. Again, her situation, I believe, is different than the way it would be with the heathen here. To what end is it for you? What good is that? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. Just as sadly, there are those that believe and pursue that and think that suicide is an escape for the unbelieving. Unrepentant suicide is not an escape, is it? It's going from bad and worse, not to discount what people think and what people experience, but to go into hell itself. The thinking is just totally devoid of the way it is. And again, and let us know that these are not to be despised, but they're really to be pitied and prayed for, that they might be turned. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. The day, verse number 19. Listen to these comparisons. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him. Now, I don't have any experience to let you know how the bear is worse than the lion, because I would be bad off with both without armament. But the Lord says the lion, and maybe we could understand it. I mean, the Lord has said that it is. He said, you thought you were going to deal with a lion that you thought you could handle, and instead you're going to meet up and deal with a bear that's going to destroy you. You know, maybe it's like, maybe we could understand it, a bobcat in our land compared to a grizzly, compared to a polar bear. You know, men just don't deal with polar bears hand to hand and live. It's something like that, hard for us to understand other than what the Lord has told us. He said, you think desiring the day of the Lord is like you're running from a lion. What's going to happen is you're going to be surprised and a bear is going to meet you. And see, what's the element there? It's going to be too late, isn't it? There'll be no escape. It will come suddenly. And there will be no ability to make this go away, make this change. Brothers and sisters, let us know that when we leave this life and we go on to be with our Lord, there will be nothing more than we can do in our lives in service and obedience to our Lord. It will be done. Oh, our destination is glory indeed to be with the Lord and praise his name for it. For the heathen, for the unrepentant and unbelieving, again, hell is your destination, the time of seeking the Lord and being obedient to him and seeking his face and repenting and believing and trusting in the Savior. That will be past and it will be a terrible eternal end. Don't wait. Don't misjudge what's at hand for each one of us. As if a man did flee from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house. What's in the house? Safety, protection, comfort, provision. And leaned his hand on the wall going into the house or in the house, and a serpent bit him. There's surprise in there. The place of safety, the place of refuge, the place of provision, the place of rest. Now the serpent has bitten. You that desire the day of the Lord, watch out what you desire. Oh, what is it that Jesus says? The one in the parable that he tells about owing, having a debt. He said, you get that settled. Last thing you want to do is for the magistrate to get involved. And he gives you over to the, if you will, the deputy or the sheriff. And then you end up in jail. And you can't pay because you didn't have anything to pay in the first place. And you're not going to get out of there until you've paid. For the unrepentant and unbelieving, there's no paying here and there's no paying there. For we that are saved, we can only be obedient now. Shall not the day of the Lord, verse 20, be darkness and not light, even very dark and no brightness in it? This judgment, you know, this judgment is coming upon the nation. This judgment is coming upon the nation because of what? Their departure from the Lord. And is the Lord going to be all smiles and cheery and rainbows and happiness? No, he's been blasphemed. False gods have been pursued. His own children, he says, that they birthed unto him were destroyed in their wickedness. It's not going to be a joyful day for the nation. I hate, he said, he's getting down to the point of where they live. I hate, I despise your feast days. Now, the Lord uses this word hate, and some people have a problem with the Lord hating things, but he does. He does hate some things. And some things are there's things that are sinful and wicked before him, and then there's things that are abominable before him. They just surge up and above or below more common wickedness of man. I despise your feast days. The feast days that the Lord had given unto them, he'd given to them to be a blessing. And now it's a thing of detest unto the Lord. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. The holy convocation was something that the Lord gave the nation for them to come together at different times, the males presenting themselves and all of the family coming at time. Remember how it was in Jesus' family with his mother Mary and Joseph and that they would go to Jerusalem and such as that. The Lord gave those things for to be blessings. I find it a marvelous thing that the Lord said, when it comes time for you to go all the way to Jerusalem, I'll make it to where nobody will mess with your stuff back home. It'll all be safe and secure. And you'll be, because sometimes they would have to go for days or weeks, plus the travel. He said, you obey me, I'll make it to where all the stuff at home will be just fine. It'll be just like you left it. It'll all be good. He said, now I hate it. I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies, in the holy convocation, the sacrifices that are offered. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings. Again, the meat offering seems to be part of what's involved there is a token of the bounty and the blessing. We've seen about that in other prophets that we've looked at about no wine, no grain. I will not accept them. You offer them. You think you're doing well. And what's at hand? Well, their process, their procedure, their lackadaisicalness, their heart is far from the Lord. They take the way and the worship of the Lord, and then they take it and they offer it to Baal, to Moloch, to Remphan, and so on. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. You know, the peace offering is... each offering has its own place in the peace offering. You know, don't you like the sound of that? But it will have no effect with the Lord. There is no peace because they've rejected the Lord and his way. Take thou away, verse 23, from me the noise of thy songs. I just don't want to hear your music. For I will not hear the melody of thy vials. I'm just sick of it. You know, that's a sad, sad thing, isn't it? It's terrible. What is it that it says in the scriptures, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof? You know, it's apropos, isn't it? I mean, it fits, doesn't it? Having a way, having an order, having a process, having steps, but hearts far from the Lord. May the Lord help us that we beware ourselves, that we not be lackadaisical about our worship, our service of the Lord, our fellowship with the Lord. You know, it's we are given and blessed with the privilege to be able to come together to worship our Lord in his church. And we don't have to load up and go to Jerusalem. But the Lord is blessed that we have our church has property and we have a place and we can come together here to worship our Lord, to come into the presence of God collectively. And we should do so. And it's a blessing. And may the Lord help us with our hearts that it not be we not think of it as a drag, something we've got to go do. Well, yeah, we are commanded to do so, but may we count it indeed as a blessing because it's the Lord's provision for us. But you know what? Coming together to meeting together to worship, you know, three times a week, it won't make up for a week where we've been distant from our Lord. We're commanded to come. I have had times that I've been distant from the Lord. I mean, that happens. And needed to go ahead and come. But it doesn't make up for being distant from the Lord the rest of the week. Because as we're seeing on Sunday mornings, the Lord desires fellowship, relationship, communion, visiting. Here he says in verse 24, but let judgment run down as waters. He, you know, can you think of that? He's got a vessel. He said it's time. You know, what is it that tells us in the scriptures about the New Testament scriptures about the word? And the washing by the water of the word. I don't know if I've got that exactly right, but that's the connotation, is the word is like water. And years ago, I've mentioned it in quite a while past, but since I've been here, you know, it's kind of like I liken us to being like sieves. And we get fouled up and we get dirty. But you know what? We keep on taking the Word of God and pouring it through us. It'll clean us up. Not just reading it by rote. So we've got our Bible reading chart completed. That's good. That's got an element to it. But taking the Word of God and feeding upon it. And looking to retain it. And asking the Lord to help us to put it together. How does this piece together? How does this fit? How does it connect to other passages? What are you saying to me, Lord? What is it that I can take and apply to my life? The Lord says, it's time for this mess to be cleaned up. Let judgment run down as water. He's going to clean it up with his water. And judgment, it's going to come. But let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. It'll wash away the sin, won't it? It'll wash away the sin. The Lord visiting his people, visiting his children, visiting us and convicting us, moving with his Spirit, we submitting to him, judgment running down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. That's what we need. That's what our church needs. That's what our nation needs. And may the Lord help us. May the Lord help us in it. Verse number 25. Have you offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? Now, think about that. He's here at the time of Amos, well into the kings of Judah, the divided kingdom, and Israel. You've got your chart there. You can take a look at that and count up that time. And so now he's remembering the past, isn't he? He's going back beyond the kings of the divided kingdom. He's going back beyond Solomon, David, and Saul. He's going back 400 years through the judges. Remember that? He's going all the way back to the sojourn and all the way back to the deliverance out of Egypt. Or the time of the sojourn. Have you offered me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? There is an element here. In the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant. But ye have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Chiun, your images, the star of your God. Brother Stephen in the book of Acts in chapter 7 tells him as being Remphan, the star of your God. Artifacts of the heathen, of the wicked, of the pagan gods, of the wicked. Which you made to yourselves. I think what he's saying, he said, this has been a problem with you from the beginning. A stiff-necked people. Even though I gave you a land, I gave your fathers a land that was good to go. Didn't have to put up the fences, didn't have to plant the vineyards, didn't have to build a lot of the cities or the houses. Gave you a good law, gave you solid direction. I've been dealing with this mess since that time. Isn't that something? Therefore, verse number 27, will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus. And so we've seen here about Damascus. You can see that on one of your maps up there to the northeast. That is the capital of Syria. And what he's indicating there is they're going to go to Assyria. They're going to go to Babylon. They're going to be scattered all over the world. And still are today. Therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Interesting that this chapter 5, ends in similar fashion to chapter 4. There's kind of a theme here in the endings of these chapters. And of course, in the original, there weren't chapters, but there's paragraphs and breaks that made sense to the organizers of the chapters. But look there at the end of chapter 4 and verse number 13, there at the end, that treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. And then we see this in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3. Saith the Lord, chapter 1. Saith the Lord, chapter 2, verse 16. Chapter 3, verse 15. Saith the Lord. He's talking. He's declaring his word. He's giving it. You know, he's doing that today. How well are we hearing? How well are we hearkening to what the Lord says? Again, that word hearken speaks about hearing and obeying in it. The Lord's doing the same kind of thing. Remember, these things are written. These things are written. They happen to them for examples, and they're written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. And so may the Lord help us that we heed it. May we introspect. May we, each one of us, take a look at our own lives. And I'm not accusing you, okay? I'm not accusing you. But as your pastor, let us be warned. It happened to them. It can happen to us. And we've got the opportunity of our life to be obedient, to know what the Lord says, to take it to heart and to walk in it and to fellowship with him now and to serve him and worship him now. And let us do so. He's been good to us, hasn't he? And you know what? Beyond him being good to us, he's worthy to be obeyed. That's the primary thing. He's got it coming because he's God. And beside him, there's none other. And you know what? He's shared that with us. He's opened that up unto us. He's told us that. And he was not beholden to tell us that or to show us that. And we were saved. He's visited us and saved us. And may we honor him in obedience and service. We don't offer sacrifices, the burning of animals and such, do we? But what do? We sing. We pray. We worship him. We proclaim the things that he's done. We rejoice in him and the things that he's promised, in his power, in his goodness, his graciousness, his mercy, his love. And let us do so. And let us worship him and serve him and walk with him as he has blessed us to have and to see. If you're here and you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ. The warning is parallel, isn't it? Parallel to the children and then parallel to the unbelieving. Why is it that Israel didn't follow and didn't believe those individuals? They didn't believe what God said in his word. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. They didn't believe it. They thought it was for somebody else. They thought it was for another time. They thought it didn't apply. Or they said, that's too straight. That's too narrow. That squelches me in what I want to do. And so they put it off and they ignore it. I'll tell you what, you don't get off. None of us get off with ignoring the Lord. If you're here and you're not saved, you will not either. But the Lord's made a way through his Son that sinners like you and me can be saved. Repent. Believe and trust in him. His death, his burial, his resurrection for you, for your sins, for your soul. He's the Savior you need. And he says, come. Repent. Receive him. Believe in him. Trust him. You can. And he's able to save you.